Jonathan Bowden, The Outsider. When I first heard a Jonathan Bowden speech, I thought I must have stumbled on some lost member of the House of Lords from the 19th century. His speeches put modern politicians into sharp relief as the empty suits they truly are. His cadence, his oratory, his precision. There is such a wide gulf between a man who can speak like Bowden can and any modern political figure, even those sold to us as modern orators. They are entrancing performances, and they are flawless in many ways, despite often taking place in very low-key settings, like the back rooms of pubs. He must have been a bolt from the blue in early 2000s Britain. I entitled this piece The Outsider, partly as a nod to Colin Wilson's work, which Bowden admired and whom he eulogised in 2006. The idea of the emergence of the outsider is what scares large parts of the power structure in Britain. The idea that an orator like Bowden, who was a pagan, a creator of wild outsider art and outsider fiction, and not a man of means at all, could come out of the woodwork and create a body of work that energizes a growing sense of British native identity is terrifying to them. Someone so articulate and yet so completely rejecting of the modern world. Uncompromising but undeniable. The spirit of an older world lashing out at the new. He died penniless after being hounded into the madhouse. A highly strung man of reportedly extremely uneven temperament. But as Britain decays, further and further, his words only gain vitality. He spoke to small crowds in dark pubs in his signature high-pitched voice. Many of these events were recorded incredibly poorly, but they are still pored over by the rising tide of the political outsider as we are all dispossessed by modernity's march. Perhaps Bowden is best exemplified by how he was attacked and how he is still attacked by his political enemies. I think the biggest compliment I've seen Bowden given is that his words can snap even a shit-lib politician out of their stupor to the point that they feel compelled to publicly apologize. This is an article from The Independent entitled "I Fell Down the Rabbit Hole of Alt-Right Propaganda and This Is What I Learned." But one section really stood out to me because this is an article about Bowden, effectively, and about apologizing for enjoying Bowden. To quote, "British-born Bowden is regarded by many in the alt-right to have been among our nation's greatest ever orators, an autodidact who spoke with extraordinary lucidity about historical figures with extreme rightist sensibilities, from the poet Ezra Pound, the fascist esotericist Julius Evola. Bowden was and still is a cult internet figure. His unwavering conviction that inequality is a social good and that liberalism is moral syphilis, and that white people ought to be able to assert themselves as culturally, ethically, and psycho-spiritually superior are influential to this day." The article goes on to attack Bowden, though, as a product of an insane mother who suffered with his own mental illness that was meant to debunk his ideas before his death, and it steps outside the liberal framework to essentially dismiss him as a madman, as defective, and shovel all of his work into the framing that he suffered, he was an outsider, rather than deal with his irresistible truth. He is often fobbed off in this manner. Too pagan, too weird, not a trad larper, or a muscle-bound cartoon wignat. His status as the outsider is often used against him. But it is clear you cannot see outside the modern world without being an outsider to it. The supposed incongruities of Bowden's life are what made him able to see what he saw and speak about it as lucidly and incredibly as he did. He was a high-powered political freak who never compromised for money, never compromised to fit in, even being extreme and odd for the BNP, and he never compromised with the modern world. This is not possible for anyone but the outsider, a man shaken loose of the mundane and consumed by a purpose. His strangeness is something we need embrace, especially when much of what we work with now is steeped in compromise and a veneer of regime respectability. If you truly believe in right-wing ideas, you cannot help but be energized by Bowden's work. It is vital in a way that describing it does not do justice. If you want to find out a bit more about Bowden as the man, I would recommend The Untold Story of Jonathan Bowden by Adrian Davies. But I shall leave you here with Bowden talking about the nature of genius and perhaps somewhat talking about himself. Thank you.
The idea that you can engineer society through radical shifts or change so as to create more equality, to me, is completely counter-propositional. I remember Trotsky once said, before he teamed up with Lenin again, and just prior to the Bolshevik coup, which is what it really was, that once socialism's been established, once there's a remit of equality for all, at the level of material subsistence and beyond, education, health and other matters, there'll be a Goethe on every street corner. He said there'll be a Kant on every street corner. There'll be a Strindberg. Notice all of these or Gentile, Caucasian cultural heroes. There'll be one of these on every street corner. Now, that's utter nonsense. Genius like that is against the grain. He's largely hated while it's alive by many people, but revered after it's gone. He's often, these people are extraordinarily difficult for others to get a handle on while they actually exist. They're freaks of nature, and sort of special needs the other way around. The idea that such an outcome could be pre-programmed by socially enforced engineering that presses down on the difference between people rather than seeks to exalt it is completely counter-propositional.